It's Candid Frank Live.
Wow.
Yes. Wow would be it. Well, it's Free for All Fridays. The phone number to call is 714-242-5250. Why don't we tell some people we're doing the show? Let's do that. Let's start by telling people the show's going to be on. Now, for those of you that have tuned in, it is obviously that time of year again. You know, you really know it's spring when you can smell the grass. No. The turf, you know. Not the surf and turf, but the turf. You know, the grass, green. It's been so nice and warm lately. You know, you walk around and you start to smell those smells that you smell when you walk down the golf course. Left side, right side. Fresh water. New foliage. Exposing itself to the environment. Yes, it's that time of year. The Toronto Blue Jays are on their way back to Toronto. Right now, they're still in Dunedin. They're still playing some baseball games, and they do have some decisions to make. One decision they made already is a bit of a surprise to most that want him to succeed. To those that have watched how he has pitched, not so much. Ricky Romero, confident that he is, believer that he is in himself and the way he can pitch, has yet to prove that what's in his mind in as far as his pitching ability has not been displayed physically. Now, you know the 25-man rotation has been, or I should say the 25-man roster, has been determined. The rotation has been determined. The five starting pitchers, we know who they are. We know who's in the bullpen. We also know that Brett Laurie's gimpy body means that he will not be starting. When he comes back, there is obviously going to be some decisions that need to be made. And of course, those decisions rely heavily on how those five first pitchers do. Now, having said that, the five pitchers are good ones. Apparently, the knuckleball is something that's necessary for this team. The team has determined that the knuckleball is important. And that knuckleball looks like it's rounding into form. Now, dude won't be playing in will be playing in Toronto, but he won't be living here. He'll be back in St. Louis. I have to say this, and say this very clearly. God, I hope he can pitch. And if he does well, that'll be awesome. Needless to say, the Toronto Blue Jays have been a team in flux for 20 years. Going back to the original time when, not the original time, but that wonderful time when they were filling the stadium and winning more than they were losing and playing in the fall, playing when it matters. They did so in the early 90s. It is now the early 2010s, exactly 20 years ago. The team won the World Series. The team had a full stadium. The team had an owner with deep pockets and was willing to spend money. Not only had deep pockets, but also was willing to spend money. They had a management team unlike the one they have now. The one they had back then had a lot of experience Well, no, they didn't have a lot of experience because really, well, you know, more experience maybe. Can we go with that? Can we go with that? Remind you again, the phone number is 714-242-5250 if you want to throw in your 2 cents. Oh, sorry, can't do that anymore. You got to throw a nickel in. We're not taking pennies anymore. So he's burly, and he's a great pitcher, and he is a key factor, Mark Burley. Of course, we were talking about R.A. Dickey and his knuckleball. And he obviously is a factor. I don't think, I'll be honest with you, I'm not even going to talk about how they did and how they're doing in training camp, Grapefruit League, standings. Because to be truthful with you, and I'm just being truthful, it doesn't matter, guys, gals. Who cares how they're doing in spring training? What really matters is what they do next week inside the Sky Dome when they throw that first pitch and the last pitch of the game. That's really what matters. What will this team need to do to win a World Series? Well, the first thing they have to do is make it to the postseason. And to make it to the postseason, what they're going to need to do is win more than they lose. Unfortunately, they're going to have to win a few more than they lose. So here's what I have to say as far as if you really want to know they're a good team and they're able to win. The first thing a good team does is they don't lose consecutive games. If at all, not very often. Or if not at all, not very often either. In the case of the Blue Jays, it appears, if you look up and down the roster, they have some really talented players, both eyeballing pitches and eyeballing catchers. So both sides of that equation, the Jays have some great talent. They have some players who are very hungry. Ask Brett Laurie, he'll tell you how hungry he is. They have a team that maybe will win the World Series, if paper means anything. But buyer beware. Buyer beware. The last year, the Miami Marlins, otherwise known as the New Blue Jays, they spent a lot of money, brought in a lot of talent, but it didn't work. And they had one of those fire sales they've had before, which is basically gutting the team completely, going from one of the highest payrolls to one of the lowest payrolls. And trust me, that's a dissension down a very long staircase. That's not something that's easily done. So this team has decided and has succeeded in bringing in some talented players. So to win, what they need to do is they have to have pitchers that step in and take over a game. The professional people in the sport refer to them as stoppers. Yes. What they're stopping is a slide, a losing slide. We all know, we have a lot of experience here in Toronto, on what it's like to be in the midst of a losing streak, some longer than others. We even had a hockey GM who said, I've never been through something like this. The transport truck got off the highway and I didn't know how to get it back on. Well, he didn't succeed in getting it back on, and he's not going to succeed because he was released, of course, when the hockey season started. I'm referring to Brian Burke. So is that going to happen to the Blue Jays? I predict right now at this point, no, that will not happen with the Blue Jays. One thing that the company known as Rogers bought when they bought the Toronto Blue Jays, they bought a team with a trademark, at least, in the deep psyche of many, that's a class organization. Not to suggest that Rogers isn't class, because that's the last thing I'm doing here. But what I am trying to say is that aside from the immediate damage after they won their last World Series and then the strike and the Molitor issue and the players that played with Molitor and the way they were released and the way the fans were treated, the way the fans were treated when it came to tickets. There were some incidents that happened that the Blue Jays, sorry to say, they scuffed up their reputation a little bit. But Rogers is trying real hard to bring that reputation back. And, you know, they control everything that's going on. I mean, you know, we're talking vertical marketing here. And, you know, when you are the owner of a team, the broadcaster of the team, and an interested party in expanding your product, and you have all that. You have the customers who, with Rogers, as you know, that pay for cable. They have all the sports nets. They have the Leaf Network. Now, the Leaf Network they share now with Bell because of the MLSC purchase. So, you know, they have a vested interest, a serious, serious, serious interest in winning. So, as I said, what does it take to win? Well, you need an owner that really wants to win, that knows how to get out of the way and let the people they hire that they think can create a winning atmosphere, much like what happened in Montreal this year in hockey. And for those of you, I have a viewpoint as far as management's concerned. Good management can change the direction a team goes in immediately. Well, here's the thing. Now we got a young kid, Anthopoulos. Well, maybe I shouldn't call him a young kid because he has a lot of experience. He came here from the Expos. His manager that he just hired is someone that he knew back with the Expos. The manager that he hired is a guy that basically in recent memory has had one of the better records, correct? So he knows how to win with the Blue Jays. Now, he's coming back now with what we all think, and I don't mind admitting it right now, and I'll eat a bit of crow later. We all think that this Blue Jay team has a wonderful opportunity to be a stud team, a team that will basically be in the top at least. And this is, I'm willing to eat crow. If they play well, they will have probably, at the very least, the third best record in the major leagues, which guarantees them a spot in the postseason. Now, the one thing the Blue Jays did back then, back in the day, is they continually added players they needed and subtracted players they didn't. Did they make a lot of splash during the season, unloading players, that kind of thing? No. But what they did was they came together at the beginning of the year with most of the parts they wanted, and those parts were very efficient, as you all know. But when it comes to the trade deadline, they made some moves as well. So this year, I think it's there for them to take. It's there for them to do. Again, I will go back to hockey again, only because I love talking about all kinds of sports. The Pittsburgh Penguins right now are trying as hard as they can to guarantee that they're going to win the Cup. They're making those changes based on the good players and the good team and the good system and the great coaching and the management they have in place right now, and they want to make a couple of minor changes, if you can call the captain of the Calgary Flames, Jerome Iginla, a minor tune-up. And of course, they look like a major contender at this point. It is the hope of those of us that live in the greater Metro Toronto area. And I hope you Canadians can't hold it, the rest of the Canadians can't hold it, won't hold it against us, that we have a good team in the major leagues. The only team in Canada. Hopefully it will become Canada's team, because that means cha-ching for the Rogers people. And it could lead to a real boon for them. So they've got the management, they've got the players, they've got the team, they've got the coaching. They've got everything you could possibly want to make this team successful. So what will they do? Well, I've told you that I think they'll finish at the very least third overall in the majors, third best record, meaning over 100 wins, or close to 100 wins. And they will do it in a fashion that will be exciting. It's left to be seen whether they'll do it as well as the Blue Jays of the 90s did. Do they have an exciting defensive player who can get balls that nobody else can? Playing at second base, playing at first, playing at shortstop, playing at third, out in the field. They're going to need that. They're going to need the kind of players that make those plays that when you're sitting in the stands, you go, wow, did you see that? That's what they're going to need. And finally, what they're going to need, and this is the biggest if rolling around in my head right now, and it's going to be very, 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 did I say very important? And that is, will they get the support in the stadium from the fans? Will we see 40,000 people in the stands more than we see 25,000 people in the stands? Will we see a few sold-out games or near sold-out games? Will those sold-up games, out games, or those 40,000 tickets be part of a papering or paper mache that sometimes owners of teams do because they don't want the stadium to look empty, which historically, you know, Rogers has done with the Buffalo Bills. It is my hope that there will be sincere appreciation by the fans of the team that Rogers has built. And it is my hope that those that go to the games, including myself, will enjoy the games, not just because the team wins, but they do it in an exciting fashion against teams that are playing well, making it that much more of a draw to the game. Baseball, when it's played well, is a beautiful game. It truly is a beautiful game. Not everyone can get behind it. Not everyone loves it. There are football fans. There are hockey fans. There are lacrosse fans. There are all kinds of fans in the world. But right now, Mark Burley, great acquisition. Brandon Morrow's back. They've got a great pitching staff. Now, will Sergio Santos be the guy? I don't know. We're going to find out. Can J. Pierre and Sibia catch R.A. Dickey? Well, you know what? We're going to find out. And those, I believe, are some of the key factors required for the Jays to do what they need to do, which is win. And winning is an important thing. Remind you again, the phone number here is 714-242-5250. You're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. It's time to draw some attention to the Hamilton Tiger Cats. This is how we do it.
Frank, watch your phone. I will represent my team,
my province,
and my fellow fans with honor and pride.
And inspire the next generation
of the Rider Nation.
Green is my color.
Football is my game.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
There's that ringing. We'll see how quick Jared answers his phone. Let's see how quick Jared answers his phone.
Jared Harris.
Hey, Jared, it's Frank. How you doing, buddy?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good. I watched the game. I have to tell you, the first half looked like it was going to be another one of those Buffalo-Toronto games.
Yeah. Well, what a slobber knocker it started off with, eh?
Absolutely. Aaron's with us on the phone.
Hello, Aaron.
How's it going?
Yep, Aaron's there too. We're all here together. It's Friday night free-for-all. Or maybe I should change the name of the program to Friday Freelander night.
Friday rock-for-all night.
There you go, because that's what it is. We're going to talk Toronto Rock. They're playing the best lacrosse they've played in years.
Absolutely. Will not degree. Frank, I've got something I want to do here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're on the radio. Let's hear a go, Rock, go!
Go, Rock, go! Go, Rock, go! Go, Rock, go! Go, Rock, go! Go, Rock, go!
There you go. There you go.
That's awesome. And how many people you got in your closet?
Right in my closet, we got about 20 right now. No, we got more than that. We got about 24. But it's a cozy closet. You sat there before, so.
Absolutely, and I still have my hard hat, and I wore it during the game to make sure that I gave them the right kind of support. Let's go with a recap of the game, and let's give Freelander a chance, Aaron, an opportunity here to chime in. Aaron, give us a synopsis of the game today, and start with the first half.
Well, if you take a look at what actually happened in the first quarter, Buffalo actually took 21 minutes worth of penalties in a 15-minute quarter. They spent more time in the box than there was actually time on the clock.
And they didn't take advantage. The Rock didn't.
No,
really.
I'll be honest with you. Cosmo actually played a good bit of decent lights out lacrosse in the first quarter to keep it as close as he did. But by the end of the first half, the Rock are sitting on a very slim 7-6 lead. There were two challenge flags that were flown and one denial. Very happy about that. But after the break, the Rock come out with a 7-0 run.
Aaron, it was an incredibly physical game, wouldn't you say?
Oh, it was incredibly physical, yeah. I was actually surprised there weren't more penalties than there were. But I'll be honest, this is better than 2 years ago when it took over an hour to play the first quarter.
Hey, guys, you know what I found amazing? Now, I've done my fair share of play calling lacrosse, but I can't remember the last time, and maybe it happens normally and I don't realize, but how many times have there been two lacrosse sticks broken in one game?
Oh, yeah.
No, I counted about four that were actually broken over the course of the game. Most of them were Rock players snapping them on Bandit players. There were three Rock sticks broken for one Bandit stick. I'm not sure if it's the composite design or what, but I'm just they're running into this. I think some of the same issues they're running into with composite hockey sticks. With the they just fracture. It's not even like they bend. They used to bend, and you could straighten them. Now they just shatter. So.
You know, I never considered with the lacrosse. A lacrosse shot needing to have the same kind of bend you need in a hockey stick. Am I not realizing something here?
There is a great deal of whip that goes on The bottom hand on the stick pulls, the top hand pushes, and it's very easy to get a good bit of bend in that stick. So it does actually have to flex.
Okay, but I don't think it's as important as it is in the hockey stick. But it needs to be done.
No, exactly. with the new graphite shaft, she gets significantly more flex in the shaft with a hockey stick.
I always wondered whether an elasticity of the net would help boom a shot.
To be honest, a lot of times it can actually be a detriment. When the net stretches, it doesn't necessarily give as much oomph to the ball as it possibly could because it doesn't always snap back the way that it should.
I was just curious about that.
I'm on the radio. I gotta go.
All right, now here's what's going on. Here's what's going on in the league. Buffalo needed to win today, so let's start setting up the home stretch here for the season.
Good job.
Yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Sorry, I missed that. I had a Buffalo fan in front of me.
Oh, okay. Well, give the Buffalo fan a little cross check around. You know.
I did. He looked at me like, really? You're on a radio show? Whatever.
We're actually, Frank, just like Ticats and Argos fans. They don't want to admit it, but many of us are good friends. We play in the Fan Cup lacrosse tournament together and have a great time. So.
No. I think I was just.
But we do cross check them. We do cross check.
I was just saying, doing it, you know, in the bar. But having said that, so the teams now in the NHL are in the home stretch. The playoffs, we're looking at a Toronto Rock team that right now, last year they won 9 games. They have won 9, and there's still a few to play.
Mm-hmm.
They're a team that I haven't been in first, I guess, what, since 2005?
The last time that they were actually finished first in their division, yeah, would have been that last stretch run in 2005 when they played Arizona. It's been an interesting trip, I'll be honest with you. Through the Mike Klopfer era, which is something that most Rock fans would rather forget, through the Jamie Dalwick era, it's been a really interesting ride for us fans. We've never clinched first, not since 2005, but I'll be happy to see us go.
Not since Les's year, right?
Yeah, that's last year, 2005.
That was Les's last year, wasn't it?
That was the year that he passed, yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, it should be exciting. What was the crowd like there today?
11,546 fans, counting about 2,500 that came up from Buffalo, so well worth it.
Very good. I wanted to come. I almost came. I'm sure my brother-in-law had a good time there. Didn't get a chance to get away from a little family function. Good Friday dinner. Didn't make it out fast enough, and didn't get a chance to make it.
Frank, the roadie motto is family first. And I'm serious. And we're blessed with the fortunate thing of being lacrosse fans for so long. Many of the folks we're with, we consider family, and you're one of them. You're always welcome to join the roadies at the Overdraft for some pints after the game.
And I thank you for that.
So, I just need to know, Frank, did you have fish today?
Yes, I did.
Excellent. Being as it's Good Friday, we can't go around having red meat.
Well, no, they changed that rule way back. That rule got changed like 25 years ago. You know, there are some people in the world who can't get their hands on fish. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Practicality sometimes rules even the church. I had fish. I had fish spaghetti. My mother made it, and of course, I always look forward to my mother's home cooking. And anybody who knows my mother knows how good a home cooker she is.
Awesome.
So speaking of home cooking, so now we've got the Toronto Rock. Their fans are very happy today. They couldn't have played a game like that better. It's the kind of game you like to see at the end of the season, but not too close to the end of the season.
Yeah.
You know why I'm saying that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you think now they're really starting to consider today when they were sitting there sweating and taking their uniforms off? How long is it going to take for them to figure out that they have to work hard every game and don't assume that every game is going to be like this?
Exactly. Edmonton, the way I perceive it, Edmonton was definitely a character building moment. They came out with these young studs. who have finally gelled. But Edmonton gelled because they had all those games on the road because of the Brier. And they're a young, fast team that has something to be reckoned with.
And, of course, reckoning is something that happens to a team that sometimes thinks it's better than it is. Now, I'm not suggesting the Rock are into that mode at all. But
I've got to be honest with you, Frank, and I don't mean to cut you off here, but I totally believe that's exactly what happened. The Rock got the news 2 weeks ago that they clinched a playoff spot. And as soon as I saw them come out on the floor against Edmonton after that first quarter was over, they were completely flat. It was like, we've got our playoff spot. Now we don't have to work. It's all just going to come. It's all going to be apples and pears. It's going to be easy. That is the lesson I think that Edmonton taught them last week in losing 17-12. Tonight's game was a statement game.
Absolutely.
Tonight's game is one of those games where they come out and they say, this is what we're doing. This is how we're going to do it. We are back. We are aware of what we need to do. The league better take notice of this.
Mm-hmm. Because in the Edmonton game was like what the roadies like to affectionately call Poupa La Bed. Poupa La Bed in a big way. And they came out tonight, and they rocked it. They were the Rock tonight. They played a physical game, throwing their bodies around. It was incredible. Oh, we got Bandit fans coming up.
Hey,
mind
fans,
you,
fans,
a particularly hot Bandit fan that can come and give me a hug. Get over here.
Why don't you put that hot Bandit fan on the
radio? Oh, wait.
No comment.
They're running to the bathroom.
What's her name?
Hey, Lynn.
That's Lynn.
Hey.
Lynn.
Frank
says hi.
If she doesn't come on, Lynn says hi, Frank. Lynn, tell Lynn if she doesn't come on.
We're on the radio with Lynn.
They're literally running into the bathroom, Frank.
Go in there, follow them.
I would, but I'm kind of manager of the roadies at this bar, so I can't do stuff like that.
Well, I mean, you don't get the story, man. All right.
I can put you on the phone with someone. Wait, I can get over here, babe.
Come here, bacon. When has he ever ran from a chicken bacon?
I can't believe he ran from the phone. I've never seen this guy run from anything in my life.
That's crazy. Never, ever. And I'm years of knowing him.
This is good to
he's
know.
He's got a girlfriend. No, Frank, he's got a girlfriend.
That's okay. It's cool. This is good to know for future reference if there's somebody that you don't want to talk to. Say, hey, I'm on the radio here. Anyway.
Absolutely. I thought that was bacon.
Right? Just for next time. No, the real good news is that you had a good crowd out there. The team up until now has not been as definitely imposing on the floor, if you will. Tonight was our first look at maybe how they're going to play down the stretch. My interpretation of what happened, Aaron, not to pretend or even portend to be an expert and analyst of the Toronto Rock and LA Lacrosse, but I think you said a few key things that led to what happened in the second half. The first half tired Buffalo for two reasons: all the penalties and all the hitting. And you saw the fruits of the Toronto Rock labor come out at the very beginning of the half. They were, you know, I think they were still Buffalo. We're still licking the wounds.
Hey, Frank, we have a Buffalo fan here. Wonderful girl. We love her. Her name is Lynn. We love her to death. Wait.
Here. Say hi to
help
Frank.
Me.
Lynn.
Help me.
Lynn, I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you, Lynn.
You're here to help me?
Absolutely.
And how do you propose that?
I didn't plan.
Because I'm not going to become a Rock fan.
Lynn, I didn't plan on proposing. I hear you're good looking, but I just don't know. Like, I don't know your. I'm a personality guy. You know, there are
you
guys.
You are.
I like girls with great personalities. Now, the fact that you're a Buffalo fan doesn't deter you from being able to be that. So tell me about Buffalo's your perspective on the game today.
I couldn't hear a thing you just last said. What was that?
Okay, well, we'll try it again. So tell me your perspective on the game today.
Oh, okay. Well, after the first half, one of my friends who happens to be a Rock fan said, oh, it wasn't the blowout you expected to be so far. And I said, just wait till the third.
And it came
early. And that's what I have to say. No, I know our team is obviously struggling this year, so
Yeah, but you know what? Why is it that Buffalo likes lacrosse so much? I have this opportunity now to talk to a Buffalo fan.
I think part of it is because the fans in our arena are part of the game. I mean, I don't know how many times you've been to a Buffalo game, but you can't deny, even if we're getting our butts kicked on the field, we're still into the game.
Yeah, and you know, Buffalo does have a history of being very loyal to their teams. And,
absolutely.
And you do have a history in lacrosse for a very long time.
Yes. So yep, I've been going.
For how long?
I'm here.
Sorry, her wingman is here.
Well,
her wingman,
the
We Got a Gold Girl, is here.
No.
Yeah, they're telling me I got to drive back to Buffalo.
Well, tell them I only need you for a couple more minutes.
Okay, a couple more minutes.
All right, and I promise I'll let you go.
Okay.
CFL rules don't apply here. So you're a Buffalo fan. Lacrosse has a deep history in Buffalo. And
yes.
Let me understand how you came about being a fan of lacrosse. How did that happen for you?
Honestly, I had a boyfriend that really liked the sport. We got season tickets for $60 the very first year the team came out. You know, we broke up, but I got to keep the season tickets. Just fell in love with the sport.
Well, listen, it's been a pleasure. Lynn, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I'm looking forward to pictures of you in the near future to post on my Facebook.
Whatever you see, it's not true.
Oh, how about whatever I hear?
Whatever you hear is true.
And whatever you see may not be real. No, wait, hang on a second. That's a story on a different page. Oh, listen.
All right.
Lynn, it was a pleasure meeting you. Sorry your team lost. But congratulations on being such a class act. And I don't just mean you. I mean the rest of the Buffalo fans.
And it was lovely speaking to you, too. Maybe we'll do it again sometime.
Maybe we will. And maybe we'll do it even there somewhere.
They just took a picture of me. I think they're going to send it.
Oh, good.
Have a good night.
Yeah, you too, man.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Lynn, the Buffalo fantasy.
And that was the lovely Lynn.
Well, good for the lovely Lynn. She's a very nice lady.
We have a lot of Bandit family. They're awesome people. They always take care of us when we're down in Bandit land. We do meet up with some very aggressive Bandit fans, and the fan club down in Buffalo, the Brigade, they always surround us, and basically they got our backs. So it's very cool.
Well, I gotta tell you. The game I went to, the Bandits were the opposition and the Bandits won. So, you know, it does happen. It does happen that
mm-hmm.
different teams win on different nights. So
mm-hmm.
let's continue with the future of the Toronto Rock. Here's the team now that when was the last time they won the championship?
2011.
All right. So 2 years ago.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So now it's looking, at this point, pretty good that they could win it again in 2013. Help
it's
me
a
out.
Definite possibility, but this would be counting chickens before their hatch, which
is not
really something I like to do.
We're not going to go there.
We're very superstitious people in general.
Okay, so if I ask this question, you won't be able to answer it. If after the championship game in 2013, when, because I'm really going to ram your superstition. When the Toronto Rock win the championship, what will the summary say of the game? Why will they win?
I'm going to say it's because of a very tight defense. I'm going to say it's rock solid defense, very steady goaltending, and opportune scoring.
And that's an important thing, isn't it?
Yes,
oh,
it is.
Absolutely.
Taking advantage of the opportunities that are given to you. A goalie, for example, who steps out of the net because he thinks you're going to throw the ball behind it and leaving an empty cage, like what happened in 2001 in Albany, sorry, 2002 in Albany. I'm thinking along the lines of unheralded players like Ian Runningbull Rubel and Dan Lattice are scoring goals.
Love those guys.
It's opportune scoring. It's taking advantage of those opportunities when they present themselves. Not necessarily lighting up the other team when you got a 5-on-3 advantage, which the Rock failed to do tonight.
But you digress.
Yes,
absolutely.
So essentially, that's what it'll take for the team to win. I believe that the strength that the Rock has, if they pull it out of their team, is the fact that they can overcome adversity, and if they get a team, you know, prone, they can really bury them like they did tonight.
But you know what, Frank, this is one thing I've seen this season is, and Aaron, you can correct me on that or not, but there is a high degree of resiliency with these guys. You know, in the first quarter, it's not unusual for Nick Rose, who really steps up in the clinch, to let in the first two. It looks like he's just having a coffee. But I don't know if he's getting acclimated to the game or what, but essentially this is a resilient team. They come back, they're fighting, but this game, they were really playing tight. They were playing tight. But you know what? It took that little punch up at the beginning where you saw guys like Josh Sanderson flooring the sniper from Buffalo, Steinhaus, and having him on the ground. And just, you know what, letting everyone know, like, yeah, the Rock lost one fight, but in the big scheme of things, they lost one battle, but I think they won the war. They stayed up, they were gritty, and they played hard.
Well, that's my point, is that it was due to the penalties and the physicality, a war of attrition. And what
Absolutely.
We saw in the second half was, well,
Thank
again,
you.
Like, these are the kinds of things that Don Cherry, for those of you that are hockey fans, that he talks about, why he likes, and even Brian Burke. The teams that are physical, like Anaheim right now in hockey, these teams are physical for a reason. They want to wear down their opponent. It's not just about hurting them. It's wearing them down. And as
yeah.
long as they make contact, that's the trick, though, right? When it comes to being physical, you have to make contact, because if you're chasing the opponent and not hitting them and trying to hit them, guess who starts suffering the tired effect?
But, Frank, and Aaron can speak more to this, Buffalo had some Leviathans on that team. And Aaron, speak to that, please. They're big, big guys.
No, I mean, we're looking at guys like Dane Smith. You're looking at guys like Billy D. Smith. You're looking at a couple of the other players that are on the Buffalo defense. These are huge guys. The issue that I'm really running into here, and you mentioned the war of attrition, is it's rope-a-dope. They're basically running around trying to smash Toronto, but they're missing. Because while these guys are huge, they're not necessarily the most mobile on the field. Now, I have to be honest, the last game that Buffalo played against Toronto, and Billy D. Smith, that's their number three, actually scored a goal on a breakaway. Like this, you know, it's plays like that that make you go, huh? But at the same time, he can come back the next game and get a whole bunch of really stupid penalties like he did at the 12:29 mark of the third quarter this time around. The Toronto Rock had just scored. One of the Buffalo players was already in the box with a roughing penalty and a face masking minor. So that's 4 minutes right there. Before the ball is actually dropped for the faceoff, Billy D. Smith goes and hacks Jesse Gamble of the Toronto Rock and gets another 2 minutes. So that's 6 minutes in penalties right there off one play at the 12:29 mark. It's this rampant physicality that Buffalo tries to bring to the game that ends up biting them in the ass.
Frank, do you remember Stu Grimson, the hockey player?
The Grim Reaper.
Billy D. Smith is essentially Stu Grimson. He can score goals once in a while.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't think that Billy D. Smith has a picture of himself in his street clothes in his locker, so he knows how to put them on after the game like Stu Grimson used to.
Wow. Boy.
It's true. Somebody asked Stu Grimson. He's like, so why do you have a picture of yourself in your street clothes in your locker? And Stu's like, so I know how to put them on after the game.
And that is before we realized the concussions had a side effect. No.
Oh,
well,
you took
yeah,
the words
great.
Right out of my mouth. Holy mackerel on that one.
Well,
wow.
Well, it's one way to go, I guess. So now we've got a great game that's been played. Tell us a little bit about the celebration there. Everybody's very happy, I guess. You guys, what was it like being in there and all of a sudden that those seven goals in a row at coming out in the second half? What did that feel like?
You know what? It felt like the old times, Frank. I'll tell you. It felt like the old times. Aaron and I, Aaron is a longer fan than I, But, you know, we remember the five-goal comebacks. We remember just it felt like old times. These guys never gave up. They played four quarters of lacrosse, and absolutely just a wonderful thing. But I'm looking forward to the future. This is great. And in terms of partying here at the Overdraft on Front Street, we're having a blast. Everyone's having a good time, and we're loving the Rock win.
Now, hey, you're not the official place where the team goes.
No,
we're not.
We don't actually go to the official post-game parties ourselves. When the Rock first joined the league, their original parties were over at Gardunis, which is across the street.
From Maple Leaf Gardens.
99 and 2000. Yeah, across the
street.
ML
Gardunis, yeah.
Yep. Actually, you know what? Doug Gilmore used to own that place.
Yes.
From there, we progressed and we moved down to a place called Joe Badali's. And we used to have all of the post-game parties there until about 2003. From there, 2003, the post-game parties moved to Jack Astor's down on the corner of Front. This year, they're actually in Real Sports, which is right across the street from the Air Canada Centre. We don't go there mainly because we don't enjoy paying $10 a pint and waiting 45 minutes to get in.
And you know what? Joe Badali's has always been our home. They've always had the best party. And the Overdraft, because Joe Badali's isn't open right now, the Overdraft has been gracious enough to get in on the deals. And you come here after a game, and you get $5 pints of Bud, and you also get an exclusive Rock Roadies appetizer, special menu of sandwiches and different stuff like that. So this is why we come here, because we remember the Rock history, and this restaurant remembers the Rock history. They didn't have to give the Roadies these deals, and we're really appreciating it.
Well, no, listen, I don't mind giving them a plug, remind them that we gave them a plug, so next time we show up there.
I will. Telling her, I already spoke to the manager, Frank.
You know what? Why don't you do me a favor and let's make this plug real. Do you want to bring the manager in on the conversation?
Just give me a sec, okay?
Yeah. I'll talk to Aaron.
We're
going to
see if we can find
Lube. Aaron.
Yeah.
Statistically speaking, they've scored the most goals they've scored all year.
Yep.
They've achieved a goal last year already, which is the 9 wins.
Yeah.
What else can they do? What else can we look forward to in as far as, eclipsing the past couple of years?
Well, what I'd really like to see them do is clinch first place overall in the league, which is not something we've done in the past 8 years. I would really like to see us clinch first overall, not just first in the division. But once we get done that, ideally I'd like to see at least 2 playoff games on home floor. Regardless of what happens on the other side of the league in the West, I'm really actually hoping that we get a chance to see a home game here in Toronto, because that's something that we haven't seen in a long, long time.
And
most of our games have been on the road.
Well, you know what? It doesn't matter, road or at home. You know you're going to follow them regardless. But what we learned this year with the Toronto Argonauts and, of course, the Grey Cup is that it is really good to be at home and win the championship.
No, most definitely. It's always nice to win it at home. Winning it on the road is actually very special as well. I remember the first time actually Toronto beat Rochester. They won 8-6. I was at my cousin's wedding. I was sneaking out to the car every 5 to 10 minutes to listen to the game on the radio.
Now, does us being able to hear Jarrett mean that he has the manager beside him?
Oh, sorry, Frank. Yes, I have Kristen here. And
Kristen,
I'd like to,
I've met her already. She may not remember me, but that's okay. I'm not memorable.
From the Overdraft. They are absolutely wonderful staff here, and they take such good care of the Roadies. So I'm just going to pass you on. This is Frank.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm good. Tell us your name again, please, if you don't mind.
My name's Kristen.
Kristen, do you want to tell us your last name, or is that?
Kristen McGibbon.
Okay. That's a given that you're the manager. Now, you have extended your loyalty to the Toronto Rock beyond your direct relationship with the Rock. I know that you could either, you know, invite the fans in and give them an opportunity to enjoy the post game in a with you know, with a little bit of a discount and a little bit of a, you know, a helping hand and them having a good time. What made that decision possible for you in your mind?
Well, our general manager, Adam Joe, he knew that we have such a great time with all the Rock fans that come in, so we just wanted to increase the fun and give people an opportunity to see exactly what our staff is like, how much fun we like to have, and extend that to our Toronto Rock fans.
Yeah, I was there a couple of weeks ago, and I had the good fortune of meeting many of your employees, and they were top-notch, and I really did have a good time there, and they're very nice. And amenable. So, you know, that's all you can ask. And the service was great. And I wanted
to. That's what we'd like to hear.
And I wanted to personally thank you for that experience. So now.
Oh, our pleasure.
As far as the Rock is concerned, now we're planning on coming there to do a live, feed of the show from your establishment. Now, good news is that you have wireless there for all the customers, right?
Definitely, we do.
So anybody that wants to stay connected can stay connected while they're celebrating.
Oh, 100%.
That's good. And when I come in there next time, I want to know, what is one of your favorite foods that you guys make there?
Oh, our potato nachos for sure.
Now, having said that, they're awesome, but you guys make some really interesting pastas as well.
Pasta? That's upstairs at Joe Vidali's.
Yep. Well, aren't you guys connected?
We are connected, but we keep everything separate.
Okay.
You can travel within the two restaurants.
Absolutely. So, and your bill will move with you.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, there you go. So the situation, for those of you that are unaware, because I live the Toronto Rock Roadie experience, and what it means is you go to the game, and then you can drink beer upstairs before the game, and then drink beer and eat food downstairs. Now, upstairs is more of an upscale kind of menu, as opposed to, and not that yours is a downscale, because I don't want to suggest that, but yours is more of a friendly after-the-game food, right?
Yes, and we do a special menu for the roadies as well. We offer up different appetizers at a discounted price.
Now, if anybody comes in and says they're a roadie fan, they're included in that discount?
Yes.
There you go. So I just wanted to do that for our fans of the program here and give them an opportunity to maybe come down. Whether that happens or not is up in the air. But the important thing is that I want to thank you for your hospitality. I was upstairs before the game. I was downstairs after the game. And I am connected to Lori Bursty, who for 40 years her parents ate there. I guess they ate, was it downstairs or upstairs? Yeah, downstairs. I don't know if you know who Lori Bursty is.
I do.
There you go. And she's a fine lady, and for years her family has eaten there, and I think that's a good enough testament to how good your food is.
Well, we look forward to seeing you again, and come back and have a great time with us.
We will definitely do that, and I look forward to it in the near future.
All right. Have a great night.
Okay, now what you got to do now is you got to give me the name of the company, give me both, and the phone numbers if somebody wants to reserve, wants to make a reservation.
We have definitely come down to the Overdraft Irish Pub at 156 French Street West. Our phone number is 416-408-3925.
And don't tell them I sent you. Just tell them that you really heard it's a great place. Thank you, dear. You were wonderful.
Thank you. Have a great night.
You too. Okay, boys, Aaron, you're still on the phone, right?
Yeah, I'm still here.
There you go. It's, you know, this is one of those things. It's like an election.
Hey, and
right?
I'm back.
Yeah, well, too bad for that.
Oh, I can't swear. I would. If I could, I would.
Would you tell
shut
me
the front door.
Would you tell me to imitate a fire truck? All by myself?
Mm-hmm. I'd say go fork yourself.
There you go. The other thing we got to do, when we do that show live, we got to work out a way to have what we're doing on the air broadcast at least at part of a location so that somebody who wants to listen to what's going on can hear what's going on. That's the next thing we'll do. We'll talk to management about that, and we'll get her done.
We're gonna rig up speakers. That should take care of it.
Or yeah. They do have Wi-Fi here. So what we could do is even bring a laptop and hook up some speakers sometime. Maybe for the championship game. But I'm not trying to jinx anything. Touch wood. But we'll go from there.
Let's say the playoffs.
Yeah.
How's that? Let's say the playoffs, and however far it takes us, we go there, and all you have to do, and I know this part. This part I can help you with. You get a computer, and all you have to do is feed the computer sound and images into a television set anywhere in the place where they feel it's okay to have that, like one of the things that they want people to listen to and hear.
Right.
It's all good. You know what? Yep. I really look forward to doing it. And I got to tell you, I enjoy the game of lacrosse. It's so interesting. The game today had me on the edge of my seat in the first half and had me in awe in the second half.
Yeah. Because, you know what, it was like, you know what, they fought the battle in the first half, and then they came out, and this usually happens with Troy Cordingley's team. You go in, you don't want to be losing going into the first half or playing a bad game in the first half with a Troy Cordingley team, because you go into the locker room, and for a grade one teacher, he can use expletives with those players that I don't even know about, and they always come out on fire. What do you think, Aaron? Do you agree?
Troy is one of those teachers that knows a whole bunch of words that start with the letter F or contain words that begin with the letter F. I've always wanted to be a fly on the wall in one of those sessions, but I'm afraid he'd either sear my wings off or peel the paint that I'm sitting on.
Absolutely. And he's a grade one teacher.
And if you think that's bad, Terry Sanderson, you're going to love this story. Terry Sanderson actually used to coach the lacrosse team in Orangeville with his brother Lindsay. They weren't playing particularly well, and it was prom night. So most of the players had tuxedos rented, hanging up in the dressing room and everything like that, and limos on standby. And Terry said, if you guys aren't playing better by the end of the second period, you're going to be running for another 2.5 hours after the practice. This is during the first period. So Orangeville goes out, and they stink up the floor again, and they all missed the prom because Terry came in during the second half intermission and tossed the practice jerseys in the middle of the floor. That's the kind of people that the Toronto Rock have behind the bench. That's the kind of people that the Toronto Rock have as general managers. And you don't ever, ever, ever want to be on their bad side because it's not going to be a good time.
Frank, speechless. Hello, Frank.
Yeah,
you there?
I'm here. I'm just sitting here blowing my mind with some Toronto rock music. TSN, of course.
Oh,
courtesy of TSN, of course.
Frank, I am. I'm going to have to cordially excuse myself. My phone is running down.
Okay.
But thank you for keeping me on air tonight. And let's do this again next Friday.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. Thank you for all your listeners. And if your listeners do want to get in on the Rock Roadies ticket deal, where $5 from your ticket purchase actually goes to the Wellspring Cancer Resource Center, please visit the Facebook page, Toronto Rock Roadies, and join us. That will entitle you to the discount tickets as well as the wonderful specials that Joe Badalis and the Overdraft give us. And Frank, I'll thank you again for giving me personally the time, and Aaron, the Rock Roadies, time on air for your show.
My total pleasure. I got to tell you, I've been going through some tough times the past couple of weeks, and I always look forward to people that I really like and who spread a little sunshine in my life.
Frank, you're making me blush.
No, I blush. Go ahead. No, seriously, I really mean that. Both you, Aaron and Jarrett, you guys really do brighten up my day based on your enthusiasm for the Toronto Rock and knowing that you love what you're participating in. And, of course, for the folks that at Joe Badali's and downstairs as well. You know, I am grateful for your participation, to say the least.
Well, and your family now, Frank. So you, whenever you can make it to a game, you know we meet at Joe Badali's before the game and Overdraft after the game. So get your ass down here. And on that, my battery's about to cut out, Frank. I gotta go.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Yeah, you can relay this message to him when his battery is full. Here's the
no
thing.
Worries, I'll be happy to do so. Yep.
I will definitely be there again. We will definitely do a live post game from there. And all it requires is now I'm back from vacation. I have to say that the last 3 or 4 weeks has been tough. For those of you that live a life and have a family, and you know when you plan vacation, it's like in depth. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing that gets in the way, because I have 4 daughters and they want to go to Disney World every year. So I've got them convinced that we do it every second year, and this was one of those years. And it was tough doing anything other than what had to do with them. But I'm very pleased to take part in what they want to do, as I am pleased in dealing with you, Aaron, and of course Jarrett, whose phone just ran out of electricity.
Well, I'll definitely be sure to pass that message on to him. I know he appreciates it. I know he appreciates the opportunity to talk with you, Frank, and any chance he gets to get the message out about the roadies and the rock.
Hey, Aaron, do you want to talk about some other things that are going on in the sports world? Are you interested in anything else, or is this it?
I'll try to give it a go. You know, I mean, obviously my sphere of knowledge is rather limited, because I kind of tend to focus on one sport.
Oh, you lie like a rug.
I lie like a rug, yeah, thanks.
You lie like a rug, because every time we discuss something, you know what's going on. Who are you kidding? You know, Aaron, the biggest thing I have to say, did you get a chance to read the book? Don't say what
I
book.
I have not had a chance. I know what book. I have not had a chance to read it yet. It's actually waiting for me at the Post Depot. I have to go pick it up.
Mine, on the other hand, is I'm trying to do it. Last night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I tried to download it. I couldn't do it, so I downloaded some other books because I finally downloaded Kindle. I can make my Toshiba tablet, which I love and adore. I've got it finally to download books, and I want to download that book. But here's the problem. And I hope he's not listening. I'm not a reader. Do you know what I mean? So, and he better not be listening, because if he's listening, he'll hate me. The truth is,
here's what you do, Frank. You get yourself a glass of wine.
Okay, I did that already.
And then you just sit down. Okay, well, you get yourself another glass of wine, and you sit down and you spend a little time. You spend a little time with the boy who missed the bus.
What am I
doing? And you know, you do that. You do that every night, you know, for about a week, and you see how it goes.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to download the book. My therapist wants me to read some books I haven't read. And now I got a guy that I interviewed on my show that wants me to read a book. And I suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. This whole thing that I'm doing right here, right now, and that I've done for the past couple of months, is to help me heal. And I get this pressure that I have to read these books, and I'm going, Matt, I love you, and I love the book that you wrote, and it sounds so interesting, but, Matt, I don't read books.
I understand that completely. I have to be honest with you, though, Frank. I kind of made a boo-boo when I was talking with Matt, because I got confused between Odessa, Texas, and Odessa, Russia.
And you still are worrying about that. That's the part that
See, that's the thing. That's me. I obsess over stuff like that. I obsess over the gangster region Odessa versus Odessa, Texas. And I got pissed at myself for the fact that I missed that.
Hey, buddy, don't feel bad about that, because I obsess over the stupidest things as well. And my short-term memory suffers because of my condition. So I can sound like I know everything that's going on at this moment. And then a simple 5-minute-ago comment I will not remember.
Yeah, these things happen.
Yeah, you know, part of it's old age, too, you know, maybe.
Yeah, but you see, here's the thing, Frank. You can't blame it on old age, because you're not that old.
Oh, I got bad news for you. I am that old. But
No, you're not.
Let's move on.
All right, let's move away from age.
Okay, we've discussed the Rock. We've discussed the fact that Rock fans have something to be really happy about. Not only the victory today, but what it means in the big picture. Now, what sport do you want to address next?
Well, why don't you pick, Frank? Surprise
okay,
me, and I'll see if I can keep up with you. As long as it's not the CFL, because I know that's your area of expertise.
I'm
kidding.
Of course you are. My thing is, I discussed the Blue Jays to death for about 20 minutes before you got on the air. So we've done that today. Today we've discussed
okay.
the Blue Jays. And to summarize for you my feelings about the Blue Jays, management has brought in some guys with big reputations. Management, and then I'll give you a chance to, of course, you know, add to it. Management has done their part in bringing in talented players. Now the players need to show why they have these contracts, if you will, and why they're earning these. Can you imagine this guy? These guys tip as much as the Toronto Rock players earn in a month. In a month, you know what I'm saying? You know where I'm going
no.
with it?
I do.
Okay, so now here they are, these guys, talented players. The management has done their job. Now the players have to do their thing. But I'm a firm believer that for the team to be successful, and one of the biggest reasons why the Blue Jays won those two World Series were the people in the stands. Do you please summarize for me, now that I've spoken my piece, so I'm saying those are the elements that are required to win a championship: good management, good players, and good fans. Your opinion on the Blue Jays this year?
They certainly have an interesting lineup. I'll give them that much. I feel bad for John Stewart because they got Dickey. Dickey was John Stewart's favorite player on the Mets, and now we've got him.
God,
I remember a segment said
to does there have to be a political side to what you're saying?
No, there's no political side to this whatsoever. I just think it's absolutely hilarious that last year John Stewart comes on his show, The Daily Show, and proclaims R.A. Dickey his favorite player, and the Jays get him.
Well, you know what? Get used to Canada, baby, because that's what it's all about.
And I got to be honest with you. You know what? I pardon my French, but you can bring in as many big swinging dicks as you want. But unless those big swinging dicks realize they all got to swing in the same direction at the same time, your team isn't going anywhere.
Did you say in the same erection?
In the same direction.
Oh, I didn't hear the D.
Mind out of the gutter, Frank. Come on.
I bet. You're telling me my mind's in the gutter?
Oh, hell yeah.
We're talking swinging dicks and my mind's in the gutter?
No, the way it actually works is, seriously, they've got all these wonderful top-flight players. They have a wonderful team on paper. The question is, after the Grapefruit League is done and the record that they put together there, which is not, let's be honest with you, it's not world-beaten.
Well, absolutely not. That's the point I made.
That's why I'm sitting here wondering. You've got all the parts.
Hey, Aaron, it
doesn't
matter.
Be able to make them work.
Aaron. Hey, listen, last year they broke camp. They broke camp and they had like a friggin' +8 record. When I say +8, because that's the way I talk when it comes to sports. You've got your Toronto Rock. They're a +5 or 6 or 7 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're a +12 by the end of the season, they've been pretty dominant.
Fair enough.
Right? So now, but the dominance in spring training is irrelevant. And anybody who pays any attention to spring training records, they don't understand sport. What really matters is what they do when they come here next week and starting from that game next week. And the question that I have for them is, will they be able to stop any slide that comes their way? Because essentially,
my answer right off the top of my head right now, based on looking at their roster, would be no.
So you don't think they have the pitching to stop it or the offense to stop it?
I don't think they have the offense to stop it. I'll be honest with you. It's streaky at best, and I know you don't put a lot of credence into what goes on during the preseason, but you know what? What happens in the preseason is a halfway decent precursor to what goes on during the regular season.
No doubt. One cannot deny that fact. Absolutely. You're right. You can't deny that.
I love the pitching staff. I absolutely adore their pitching staff. I think it's absolutely phenomenal. Will it be enough to carry them through games? Probably not. They will win a few here and there. There will be squeakers where the pitching staff will carry them. But as it currently stands, it's not enough. Romero is too much of a question mark.
He's not just a question mark. He's not with the team. He's an A ball now. He's an A ball.
He's got a conditioning stint.
Absolutely.
That's what they're going to be calling it, is quote unquote a conditioning stint. Don't
Absolutely.
Get me wrong.
No, you're right. You're 100% right.
If Grapefruit League went on 1 week longer, he'd be in the starting rotation. And I think that's one of the things that kind of frightens me most about this team.
No, I don't think so. I think the problem with Romero is between his ears. He's convinced himself he's a great pitcher, but he hasn't shown that he has the desire on the field to be a great pitcher.
It basically, his brain is writing checks his body can't cash.
Absolutely.
I think is what it works out to.
We agree, right? That's the problem with him, is that he thinks he's a great player, but he hasn't shown it physically that he's a great player. All right, let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll discuss another sport.
That'll work.
Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack. So to connect with us and tell us your thoughts, hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button. Right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250. Now listen, Aaron, I wanted you to know I'm going to put on something that has some duration to it. So if you need to take a pee break or something like that, this is your opportunity.
Already taken care of.
Oh, okay.
I'm a ninja.
You're a ninja. Okay. I was just having fun with the mics now. All right. So now let's move on to bigger and better things. And when it comes to Toronto, synonymous with Toronto are the Toronto Maple Leafs. There is no franchise in this community by far, I think. This is the one franchise by far that, let's be honest, okay? And I'm here as just a, don't shoot the messenger, okay? But if there's one team that this community wants to win more than any other team, it's got to be this team, the Maple Leafs.
Now, are we talking hockey or baseball?
Okay. I can understand that your sense of humor is very dry. You know who I'm talking about. Stop.
I know exactly who you're talking about. You're talking about those useless sacks of crap that play out of the old mail center. I'm sorry. You know what? If you want to get me on a tear, Frank, just start me talking about the Leafs.
No. Hey, listen. This is it. This is your chance. I really don't care what you say about them, because whatever you have to say, they've earned it.
Oh, more than likely.
Right? I mean, this is a team. This is a team. $1.5 billion in value. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it something like that? I'm in the ballpark, right? No pun.
Pretty much.
$1.5 billion corporation. We'll call it a corporation because part of the assets, of course, are the soccer team, the basketball team, the stadiums, the TV channels, the team itself, the bar downtown, which is the biggest bar of all bars in Canada, the biggest bar in Canada. You know, this is a corporation on its own, and then it's purchased, not just controlled by, but purchased by the two other biggest corporations in the communications world. So how
Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment? Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment is what I like to call the creeping cancer. They are an organization that is too big to fail. They are an exemplification of the banks in America. This is a corporation that has gotten too big for its own good, but is too stupid to realize that they are A, stepping on, and B, pissing on legions of loyal fucking fans when it comes to their hockey team. This is a team that really desperately needs to win, but can't because they keep stepping on their own dicks. It's going to happen. They keep trying to bring in top-flight talent. They keep trying to bring in top-flight coaches. Once those idiots get here, they don't do anything because the perception is it's the Toronto Maple Leafs, it's hockey town, not Detroit. Toronto is the real hockey town. I made it.
Toronto's,
I don't have to do anything.
World. No. Toronto's the hockey world, not the hockey town. By the
Toronto
way.
Toronto is the hockey mecca. It really is. Because as soon as you've made it here, you can go anywhere else and write your own ticket is really what it boils down to.
Well, let's be clear about something, okay? And let's be honest. And this has nothing to do with being in Toronto at this time. The business community is focused on this team because if they want to make money, this is the team they can make money with. And it was so obvious that neither Rogers, which is a pretty big going concern, or Bell, the other big going concern, or if I can refer to them as the Unholy Alliance, which that guy that looks like he belongs on a park bench talks about on the Fan. He talks about. It is what it is, right? But at the end of the day, what you got, and 20 years ago when I was talking about this, when I was talking about the Leafs, and when I was dealing with Harold Ballard, the fact is, and the truth is, that Harold Ballard and even the Leaf ownership of today is that they have a financial interest in the team. And it doesn't matter how the team does because they have their spin doctors to make sure that the team doesn't look bad or there's always hope, right? Isn't that what they sell, that there's always hope for the Maple Leafs?
They are the, I'll be honest with you, they are the biggest drug dealers that I know.
And
the drug that they sell, is hope. The drug that they sell is called next year. The drug that they sell is called maybe if. Maybe if we got that next player. Maybe if we hadn't lost those games in February. Maybe if we had a goalie. You know something, here's another thing that not a lot of people realize. The Maple Leafs have a track record of getting goalies on the downside of their careers. Darren Pupa, Grant Fuhr, Curtis Joseph, Andrew Raycroft for half a season. My God, they're getting all of these goalies that are not what they used to be. The next goalie that I'm expecting to come to Toronto, Roberto Luongo.
No, he ain't coming here.
Oh, I guarantee you he's coming here. You know why? Because he shit the bed in frickin' Vancouver.
No, Aaron, I'm sorry. I have to disagree with you, buddy. I have to disagree with you.
I'll tell you what. In 2 years, when he's nursing a broken back and he's nursing two bad knees, he'll be on our roster.
Well, that I believe. But what I don't believe that it's this year. I don't think he's coming this year. I think the problem with your equation in relation to how it is framed this year is the fact that they don't really think the other guy is that good. And that's the problem. You know, Schneider is not as good as he may have been built up to be. It's very easy to be an asset and an important asset when you're not out in the front. You know, when you're in the, you know, that's why I admire the Leaf goaltenders that they have. These young guys have produced where, really, come on, let's be honest. A lot of people who think they know hockey would not think that Reimer would be a number one goalie.
And I'll be honest with you, Frank, he's not a number one goalie.
But, you know, really? You really think he's not played like a number one goalie?
No. Understand, he's gotten lucky. He really has gotten lucky this year.
Lucky?
Yes, because there's been some very opportune scoring.
Aaron, I have to disagree with you 100%.
You can go ahead and do that, but...
No, I know I can, and I know I can trust
you to
take
it
not personally.
No, of course not, but we'll look at his stats at the end of the year, and we'll see if he's in the top 10 goaltenders. Because you know what, honestly, if the Leafs are going to go anywhere, they need Reimer to start playing like he's a number plus one. Not just a number one goalie, but a plus one.
I got you. I'm with you. I understand you, but I live on the Grant Fuhr theory on goaltending.
Okay.
And Grant your theory on goaltending for me is make one more save that matters than the guy on the other end of the ice. That's all that really matters. Really, in hockey, all that really matters is, well, in life. Never mind hockey. In life. It's not how good you are. It's
and
not
I thought Grant's theory was that whoever has more white powder wins.
Well, that's because he had a lot of money.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean? Like, let's be honest. I mean, come on, let's be honest. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, interpretation rules the day. And right now, interpretation is, and I cannot disagree with you for a second, that Reimer hasn't shown that he's the number one goaltender. You know, for real. But unfortunately, for him to prove that he's the number one goalie for real is if he does enough in the playoffs that shows that he is the number one goalie. And here's the fun part. He proves it later as well. Because it's not enough to prove it for 1 year. Because what you're referring to is the Ranford thing. And that is that Ranford, you know, Ranford played really well for Edmonton. But really, when it came down to it, he didn't have that many great years and didn't win that many championships. He won a big one. He won a big one when Edmonton wasn't supposed to win. And he was a big part of it. Don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, after he had that day, that heyday, there were none after that.
No. Billy Ranford did a fantastic job that year. But he didn't follow through. He didn't continue to prove that he was that goalie.
Absolutely.
He didn't continue to prove that he was that guy.
He was a Hall of Famer based on a good year. There are other Hall of Famers in the world today. Well, you know, we can talk about a Brodeur. We can talk about Jacques Plante. We can talk about Glenn
Tiger Williams.
Tiger Williams?
Oh, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame of what? Of guys that don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
I had to mention Tiger Williams because I love Tiger.
You're going to make me start using four-letter words, man. Holy crap. Listen,
Tiger's awesome.
Hey, listen, I love Tiger Williams, and I don't know anybody that could ride a stick better than him. But, you know, having said that, listen, this is the same debate I would have, and at some point we're going to have it, and maybe I'll have you on as well. I'm working things out that hopefully I'll be able to have Don Cherry on the show. And if
that would be nice.
Oh, it will be nice. I'm trying to debate where I put him, right? Because I'm very tempted to do the right thing, which is put him on the CFL show and have him talk about his CFL experience. But until I talk to him and find out what he knows about the CFL, I can't do that. Brian Williams, on the other hand, will be on the CFL show. I know that I can talk to him about the CFL. So to take it to where we're talking right now, it's very important to understand that hockey in Canada stirs the drink. Hockey in Canada stirs the drink. But it ain't the only drink in town.
Nope, I'll give you that much.
You know what I'm saying? Because I know who I'm talking to. I know who I'm reaching out to here. And I truly do love lacrosse. I truly do love the CFL and Canadian football. But more importantly, I really love the Canadian fans. And Canadian fans are very special. They're loyal to the extent that they shouldn't be. Look at the guy that owns the Ottawa Senators. Now, I worked for this dude. You know what I mean? I worked for Eugene Melnyk in another life. And what I can tell you about Eugene Melnyk is that he has an opinion, and it needs to be heard. And right now, the opinions on the fact that he's a hurt Carlson on purpose.
Sorry, Frankie, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Sorry, I thought I lost you for a second there.
Oh, it's okay. This is Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Candid Frank Live here on Blog Talk Radio. And we're talking to Aaron Freelander. And Aaron, of course, is a diehard Toronto Rock fan, and he's overextending himself now, discussing other sports. And what I was referring to was Carlson was injured when his tendons were cut in his ankle by Cook of the Pittsburgh Penguins. And Eugene Melnyk at this time is trying to prove that he did it on purpose using forensic scientists. And I was just
That's an interesting proposition. I mean, I did see the game footage. And it did look like Cook's foot did come up. but I don't think that that was the exact damage that he intended to do. There was a certain, I believe, a certain amount of forethought in him raising the foot.
Yes.
But I think it was just bad luck that Carlson got cut where he did.
I don't think the raising of the foot is the issue. For me, it's the lowering of the foot that's the issue. The way he dropped
Fair
down
enough.
With his skate. That, to me, was that downward motion looked suspicious to me. But again, I'm using the term that I believe, and that is it is suspicious. That doesn't mean that it's factual. But it does raise the suspicion. And one thing I know about Eugene Melnyk, having worked for him, is that he's not afraid to tell you his opinion. And I respect that. Don't get me wrong. I admire the fact that he's willing to say things that other people may not. You know what I mean? So, in your opinion, you're on the fence as far as whether Cook did it on purpose.
Yes, I am.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move on to something else, and I'm really going to start pulling at you a little bit here. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come back. And, of course, my loyalty to the CFL is maintained. Have you ever heard of Mike Richards?
I have. Now, are we talking the hockey player, or are we talking the football player?
Well, actually, we're talking about the guy on TSN Radio.
Oh, that guy. I don't listen to him.
You don't listen to him? Well,
no, I don't listen to Mike Richards.
You're going to get an opportunity to listen to him. It's 3.5 minutes of Mike Richards. This is one of my favorite pieces that has to do with the CFL. And I have
to, and
I want to take a break, and then I want you to have an opportunity to take care of business, whether it is get another beer. But, I mean, after doing the commercial that we did, you should be getting a lot of beer put in front of you for free.
Yeah, it's not happening.
It's not I'm going to have to talk to her when I see her.
Well, you know, she's a cute redhead and all, but, yeah, no, the beer just ain't coming.
Really?
I'll live.
Hey, by the way, how's the girlfriend?
Yes, sir.
How's the girlfriend?
Girlfriend is awesome.
And I've had wine to drink right now. I'm up to about a half a bottle of wine, and we're talking a 40-ouncer. So needless to say, I'm not feeling any pain. But I'm enjoying I'm enjoying this opportunity to discuss with you. Remind me her name.
Her name's Michelle.
Michelle, I apologize for not remembering your name. But at this point in my life, I'm lucky if I can remember my name. Just saying.
Now, Michelle is awesome. She and I have been together for almost 18 months now.
You're a very lucky man.
I am.
I have only met a few women that I wish I was married to, and she's one of them.
Don't give her ideas.
You know what? Unfortunately, I'm a big cat. I only get married once. So the good fortune for me is I get to speak and say things that are very very complimentary, and I don't have to back up with reality. If you know what I mean.
Oh, I do.
We'll take a long break, because I need a long break. That's why we're taking a long break, because I need a long break. We'll be back with Aaron Friedlander right after this.
I'm just a regular Joe with a regular job. I'm your average white Leaside like snob. I like porno and Proline and books about porn. I got an average house with nice hardwood floors. My wife, my job, my kids and my car. My feet on my table and a Cuban cigar. But sometimes that just ain't enough to keep a man like me interested.
Oh, no.
No way.
Uh-huh.
Now I gotta wear double blue and hit the subway downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I need football big on a really big field. No silicone cheerleaders. I want my chicks real. I'm an Argo.
I'm an Argo.
I fly to BC and hide all their weed. I go to Regina and say, how about that wheat? I'm an Argo. I'm an Argo. I park at Commonwealth and take Edmonton spaces while Edmonton people make Edmonton
faces. I'm an Argo. I'm an Argo.
I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get myself one of those Condridge Holloway mess jerseys circa 1982 with the midriff showing, just like those skanky Queen Street Lady Gaga wannabes, and walk right into Harbor 60, and there's nothing nobody can do about it. Yeah! And I'm gonna talk about the Argos on the radio anytime I want, because unlike that 60-year-old from The Fan who wears sunglasses on TV, I actually go to the games. Okay! They can take their 20 years of boring people with their Dungeons & Dragons staff and have a great big 20-year-old cakewalk right in the middle of Yonge Street, and it will make a lick of difference. You know why? Because we got the bombs. Yeah! We got Schultz, Dennegan, frickin' Naylor, and frickin' Randorf. I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get Bill Simons, Joe Kroll, Terry Greer, and frickin' Don Moen, and a giant case of Crown Royal, and we're gonna go right down.
Hey, you know what, pal? You really are an Argo.
Just shut up and sing the song, pal. I'm an Argo!
He's an Argo!
I'm an Argo! I'm an Argo, and I'm proud of it.
Uh-oh. Is he there? There, yep. There we go. Okay, buddy. No, I didn't realize it took that much time to do what I needed to do. I went to talk to the wife and see how she's doing. And, you know, your wife can really take a lot of your time up, eh?
I can imagine. I was married once.
It just happened. I just can't believe it. And 3.5 minutes just disappeared just like that. But having said that, all right. So now we've covered the Blue Jays. We've covered the Maple Leafs. You want to try the Raptors on for size?
Yeah. You know what? Let's talk about the Raptors.
Okay. Now, the Raptors have done a lot of great things in their history. I mean, nobody's seen them, but we've heard about that they've done some great things. But
now, are you talking about their marketing? Are you talking about their kids program? Are you talking about the players that they brought in that were supposed to be the next great saviors but failed? What are we working on here for the Raptors?
That's the one.
The one there that
really bothers me is that they have a great general manager. Well, if you ask him, he's a great general manager. If you ask anybody who hired him, he's a great general manager. But if you're a Raptors fan, maybe not so much.
I got to be honest. For me, the jury's really kind of out about the Raptors. I don't particularly enjoy watching basketball as a sport unless it's March Madness. I've not been a particular fan of the Raptors ever since they started in Toronto. I'll be honest with you, though, the only time I ever actually saw them play was at Skydome. And that was back when they played the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, my God. That's when they were owned by Standard Broadcasting.
Yes. And that's the only Raptors game I've ever seen. I was sitting up in the 500s.
Oh, my God. That's when I liked them. Because that was before they were talking about the ACC. That was Mr. Stone Company.
Yes. And that's the only time I've ever seen them. Is sitting up in the 500 level at the Sky Dome with the blue tent down watching them play.
And they beat Jordan.
Yes.
It was exciting.
It was unbelievable. And then they sucked.
After that, what happened?
They sucked.
Yeah. They got bought. They got sold. Slate decided he couldn't afford them, so he moved them over to MLSD.
And this is why I call them the Raptors instead of the Raptors. They had such incredible promise. And that game that I saw at Skydome was absolutely unbelievable.
I was having an unbelievable moment where I was actually wondering about what he meant. Why is he calling the Raptors? Oh, I get it. I get it. Because that Raptor movie, now that you mentioned, I mean, let's take life full circle. I mean, that movie's out again, isn't it? In 3D.
Yes, it is. Oh, my good God.
You know what I mean? Like, give
me up. I think it was the only reason they got the name in the first place is because of a movie with freaking dinosaurs in it.
Absolutely. And no denying that they were trying to be cool and try to put together, you know, the media package all together, like the media on the side of the movie, you know, because of...
Candid Frank says hi, Lori.
Say hi, Frank.
Lori says hi, Frank.
Hi, Lori.
She's gone.
Bye, Lori. You know, they established something. They tried to put together the good black culture in with the movie culture, you know, with rap music and stuff. That was the whole reason.
Here's what blew my mind, though, Frank. They were the number one team for merchandise sales without ever having played a game.
Mm-hmm.
They were the number one team for merchandise sales without having played a game. They had players sent to the All-Star game that had never played before. This was
Absolutely.
A team that was entirely built on media, built on hype, built on smoke and mirrors. And then they made the playoffs.
By accident.
I'll take a pint. Yes. Yeah, they made the playoffs completely by accident and ended up playing the Knicks in the first round and got smoked.
They got smoked big time. They got smoked big time, and that was their one time. That was one opportunity at greatness, and then they failed.
And
but
here's what drives me nuts. They're still freaking popular, and they freaking lose.
Yeah,
and you got a team like the Toronto Rock that win and then have championships, have the most championships that
Aaron,
you can possibly match
team.
In their league, and I'm good. I'm sorry.
Aaron,
I'm better now. I'm purging, Frank.
Aaron,
I'm good.
Don't do that to me. That's
nope,
not fair.
I'm good.
No, seriously. No, Aaron, that's not fair. The Toronto Raptors have a diehard following.
They do.
High school basketball in the greater metro area is phenomenal. You're talking to a guy who did metro championships. I had the good fortune 20 years ago where I made this statement which made people fall off their seats. The city of Toronto has an incredible Jewish community. Agreed?
Yes, they do.
And are we agreed also that in that community, basketball is actually more important than even hockey?
The Maccabees have an incredible basketball team, don't get me wrong.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate when I'm talking to somebody who understands what I'm talking about.
The Maccabees have an incredible team. They really do.
And coincidentally, the guy that runs the Leafs is a big basketball fan. Big basketball fan. Do we know who we're talking about? I'm testing your knowledge here.
I want to say Tenenbaum.
Then you're right.
Because I know it's Larry.
Obviously it's Larry. I had the good
fortune. Who else could it be but Larry?
I had the good fortune of doing the World Championships when they were in Toronto. I did the play-by-play for the World Championships when they were in Toronto. And Larry Tenenbaum came down to the floor. And this is the part I really enjoy. And Larry, deny it if you will, but you won't win the argument. He wanted control of the Maple Leafs for only one reason. Not because of the Maple Leafs. He wanted control of the MLSE because his game was basketball. Larry Tenenbaum, when Slate got the team, Tenenbaum had his offer put together. It was rejected by the NBA. And he finally has his NBA team. As much as people would like to think that he actually cares about the Leafs, he cares less about the Leafs than he does about the Raptors.
I got to be honest with you. When it comes to MLSE and Larry Tenenbaum, the Leafs are the gum that you find on the corner of your shoe after you're done scraping the rest of the gum off.
Well, you know, you want to say it in a nasty way like that. Here's what I'm going to say. The Maple Leafs are the reason why the Raptors can be a success, in my opinion.
Oh, they provide all the money. Don't get
Absolutely.
Me wrong.
Absolutely. Good. As long as
Toronto Maple Leafs are the cash cow for the rest of the enterprises for MLSC. And
Absolutely.
We're talking TFC, we're talking, you know, and we're talking, you know, to an even certain extent, we're also talking the Blue Jays, which are owned by Rogers.
Well, now, yes. That's true now. I mean,
And I cannot call it the frickin' Rogers Center. It's always Shidome to me.
Dude, cannot. We have the same problem. I got friends with the Argos that tell me, stop calling it the Skydome. Well, I'm not going to stop calling it the Skydome because, as far as I'm concerned, Rogers
it
didn't
is the Skydome.
Yeah, well, of course it is. Rogers didn't pay enough money to change the name of the stadium, in my opinion.
I know. It's not even that. You can't paint the name of a different whore on the side of a pig and then call it that name.
Oh, geez. Holy mackerel. Aaron.
I'm sorry, Frank. This is something that really gets to me is the renaming of stadiums and the reappropriation of cultural elements.
Here's the problem I'm having with your conversation. Is that
yes,
nobody
sir?
Cares.
I'm sorry?
You know, that nobody cares.
No, that's true.
The people that are listening to us right now are going, well, that's an interesting thought. I'm going to go on to another webpage. truthfully,
I thought caution might make people stay. I'm sorry.
No. Listen, I agree with what you're saying because at the end of the day, corporate interests in this country and in the world today drive the bus. The rest of the world and the rest of the interests in the world are secondary. That is a factoid. That is not me talking like, oh God, he's an ultra-liberal who believes that corporations take advantage of people, and we know that not to be true because corporations take care of people. Well, sorry, I don't buy that drivel. If you follow
no.
me, I don't buy that drivel. At the end of the day, the truth is the people are what make corporations big. The people are what make the Leafs big. To take it back to the Maple Leafs,
the fact that there are so many people that are still willing to buy the same watered pap that they sell and call it a hockey team is what makes the Maple Leaf work. The fact that there are 17,000 corporate frickin' tickets and their last second club releases 65 2 hours before a game starts is what makes the Maple Leafs a going concern. That's
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. But they are a going concern. You know, as much as you and I both would like the direction of interest swayed towards other teams, in my case, the Argos and CFL. In your case, the Raptors. Sorry, the Rocks. Boy, did I make a mistake there.
Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. The great thing is the Rock aren't owned by MLSE.
Well, they're the only team that's not owned by MLSE.
Well, them and the Argos.
Exactly, which is always I've always maintained that the Argos and the Rock are on the same page.
What are the only two championship winning teams in Toronto in the last 20 years? Be the Rock and the Argos.
Exactly.
How does that work?
Isn't that ironic?
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
A little too ironic. And I really do think.
You know what I really enjoy more than anything is the fact that you get to celebrate championship with other people that you care about and you enjoy being with. And,
oh, good God, yeah.
And it's a limited audience.
That's all good. Thank you.
And
no, I absolutely love the fact that all of these people that I celebrate Toronto Rock Championship with, they're all people that I actually want to drink with. That, I think, is the best part. And for me, this is something that goes deeper than this. The lacrosse community in Canada, they have a tournament and they have a trophy called the Man Cup. This is the most valuable trophy in semi-professional or professional sports ever. The Man Cup is made out of white gold and in and of itself is worth approximately $250,000. And it's contested for by semi-pro Canadian teams every year. I've had the opportunity to drink out of this thing, and it is absolutely incredible.
I've had an opportunity to drink from the Grey Cup, so we understand each other.
We do. We do completely, because you know what? These are sports trophies that nobody else wants to win because nobody knows about them. But they are the hardest.
I think, that, I think that's I understand what you're trying to say and how you're trying to say it, but I have to
it's
tell
slightly
you,
disingenuous of me to put to try to put it
you
that
know
way,
it's
but
important. Who are you kidding? You know it's important. And
of
you
course.
Know other people would think it's important too. You know, because being part of a championship is something every fan wants to be. That is something.
Sorry, I was taking the swallow of my beer there, Frank.
Oh,
you're
going to
laugh at this. You're going to laugh at this.
Wait, before I laugh at this, I'm going to tell you what I said again so that you hear it. Every fan, regardless of the team that they admire and adore, drinking from the championship cup of any team in any league is satisfactory in ways that I cannot explain.
Nope, now you're 100% right on that. What's really funny is Brampton, for the Man Cup 1 year, it was played in Brampton, the director of sports communications and entertainment for the Brampton Battalion saw the job that me and six other friends were doing in heckling the opposition, that he hired us to come to Brampton Battalion games to do the same thing.
And you should feel that way. And feel happy about it. I mean,
oh, I'm laughing my ass off every time I think about it. I laugh about it. Why? Because, dude, we heckled somebody so badly, somebody wanted to hire us to heckle. And if you ask any fan in Rochester, when the Rochester Rattlers used to play there for Major League Lacrosse, there was a special penalty that was instituted just for Rochester fans. It was what's called a 1 minute fan interference penalty. Because they heckled an opposition goalie so badly, he left the field in tears.
You know what? I leave the field in tears every time. You know why? Because if I don't win, I'm very unhappy. I am one of those stupid people that hates losing. I truly hate losing. And due to my condition, I hate the fact that I can't remember what I said 5 minutes ago. But I can remember what I said 2 years ago. So, no, I'm serious. I mean, I wish I was kidding. You and I are drinking buddies right now, and this is what we're doing right now. This is part of what I am just enjoying the evening, and I'm so grateful that I have you and Jarrett to share this evening with and to talk about things that I really care about. And I love sports, and I love the Rock. I enjoy, like, my biggest problem, and I don't know, Aaron, I don't know if this is part of your thing, but this is my thing. I love the city of Toronto, and I love the surrounding area. I love Southern Ontario. I was born and raised here, and anytime somebody can bring in a championship or a celebration to this community, they're my best friend.
In that case, Frank, I really hope Toronto brings it home for you for the Rock, because I'd be happy to remain as such.
Hey, listen, the Argos did it already.
Yeah.
And you know what? We're gonna have some fun right now. I just gotta see. He's gotta give me his number again. And I got a surprise guest. I'm just typing to him right now.
If it's Pinball Clemens, I will shit a brick.
No, it's not Pinball Clemens. He's not up this late.
Okay, good. I don't have to worry about shitting a brick then.
But you're close.
Really? You got an Argonaut coming on the phone?
I'm seeing if I can make it happen. I mean, you know, I'm drinking
wine. Do you
want
to talk to Frank?
I'm drinking wine here, and I'm just hoping that, let's see, give me, okay. I you know what, I could probably search back and get his phone number and call him. But, you know, I have this inner, I like to think of myself as an honorable person, okay? So
okay.
If I ask you to be on my program tonight, right, and you give me your phone number to be on the program tonight, I won't use it to be on the program a week from now.
Well, as long as you're using the phone number, I'll be more than happy to keep providing you with my phone number. That's not a problem.
And just so you know, that's why I ask you for your phone number every time, because I don't want to presume that you want to be on the program. You feel me? You understand what I'm saying?
I totally understand.
Good. And I believe that. That's something, you know, like my greatness. Here's my greatness. I want to share what greatness I feel I derive from this program in the last 10 minutes of the program that we have. Is that my total enjoyment is to be a part of celebrating the sports fanmanship. of all the fans. And by that I mean, as a Raptor fan, as a Leaf fan, as a Rock fan, as a Blue Jay fan, if it makes you happy to talk about those teams and in the manner that you wish to talk about them, I want to be a part of that. Because I really, truly enjoy the fandom that exists in our small little $10 million corporation world that we live in. $10 billion corporation world that we live in, to be factual. You understand what I'm saying?
I totally understand, Frank. Trust me.
Good.
On this one.
I do too, Frank.
Oh my God, it's Jared. Where did he come from?
Frig, he snuck right in. Oh no. No, 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 no. See what happens now? John Granger heard that I might have an ex-Argo on, and now all of a sudden he's interested in being in the conversation. Should we bring him in?
Sure. I'm about to step out, but bring it on, buddy.
Jarrett, shut up.
Okay.
What's up, guys? Hey, listen.
Hey.
I was at the Rock game tonight. What an awesome game, man. That was awesome. We had, what's his name down, throwing, Alomar came in, tossed the first, oh, that was a nice one. Was that Jared?
Oh, thank you. No, that was Aaron. Jared's already taken off.
I told Jared to F off.
Why?
And he did.
And he did.
Well, you know what? I didn't hear the rowdies loud enough. Let's put it that way. I was right down behind the bench. And you guys got to get a little bit louder. The little kids were making more noise than you guys. Come on, Aaron.
Well, I will certainly pass it on. I can't make as much noise as I'd like because I'm actually up in the announcer's booth. So
what? Was that you with the owner's son? No.
Yeah, that was me. There's Bruce Barker, who was the big guy, the owner's son, and then me, the third guy.
Oh, that little kid, that owner's son, I met him downstairs where the dressing room, the players go underneath, you know, we were at the platinum seats, and that kid is one Rock fan, I got to tell you. He walks
Luke
around
is
high-fiving.
Absolutely awesome.
He is awesome. You know, they should put him as a front-running fan on all the images because he goes around screaming, go Rock, go, and he's underneath high-fiving, giving out prizes. I thought, what's this little wonder kid? And I find out he's the owner's kid. What an awesome kid.
Hey, guys, there's only 7 minutes left, and we have the king with us. Are you there?
Okay, well.
Yes, I am.
That king is here. John, it's okay. You can hang around. We have Corey Boyd. Corey Boyd is with us. Corey, first of all, can you please.
Damn, Corey, dude. I heard your show last week with Frank. That was awesome, bro.
Thanks, man. It was amazing. Thanks for having me.
Hey,
Corey,
it's John Granger. What's going on, Corey? Feel the love?
I'm blessed and gifted always. Yes, I definitely feel the love. You guys always bring in the energy.
Hey, Corey. Okay, so I see some new stuff being posted by you. Highlight it for us, please.
It's just a blog that I'm putting out. Is you know, just a journey of a king. Just about me, you know, what I've been through. Just trying to give people the inside scoop about my life and in my own words. You know, just to put myself out there a little more as far as letting people know the inner me rather than just the athlete.
So the inner me as opposed to the mini me. Why are you laughing? I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to be serious here, Corey.
I believe you, man. I always believe you.
You know I love you, brother.
No, definitely. Always love.
Hey, love is what it's all about. And you're on the phone with Aaron Friedlander, John Granger, and myself. And we're just talking about sports in Toronto. Is there something you want to share about sports in Toronto that maybe other people may not be wise about?
You know, I just want to bring, you know, more attention to the Argos. You know, they're a team that has brought great recognition to, you know, the city. You know, I think they're the only team that won a championship in the past 10 years. So, you know, I just want to make sure that they get their recognition for, you know, putting the city on their back. And hopefully everybody rallies behind them in this next upcoming season. And we can keep the winning going in Toronto, not just in football, basketball, baseball, and also hockey.
Hey, listen, Corey, now that you mentioned
hockey,
I'm going to forgive you for what you said, because I have to forgive you, because if I don't forgive you, Aaron will kill you. Aaron is, see, he's laughing in the background. He's a Toronto Rock fan, lacrosse. Lacrosse has won, the lacrosse team in here in Toronto has won a lot of championships in the last few years. But you know what, Corey? I love you. You know that, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because all I want you to know is that Toronto Rock has done a lot of good work, and Aaron's going to share that with you. Remind Corey how much good the Rock has done in Toronto in the past few years.
Well, if you want to start with this year alone, we actually had a charity game beginning of March for the Toronto Daily Bread Food Bank, which we raised $41,000. Now, we didn't reach our goal of selling out the Air Canada Center, but at the same time, we did actually donate a dollar for every ass that was in the seats, and we got about 3,000 pounds worth of food for the Toronto Daily Bread Food Banks, which was absolutely incredible. At the same time, the Toronto Rock, the National Lacrosse League, and the National Lacrosse League fans are involved in something called Fan Cup. Over the past 10 to 15 years, over the past 13 years, we've raised $70,000 for cancer and cancer research through tournaments that we hold every year, which is really awesome.
Wow.
And the tournament this year is going to be in Rochester. So we've got teams from Toronto, Buffalo, Rochester, Boston, Chicago, which no longer has a team, Minnesota, three teams from Philadelphia. It's going to be an incredible tournament, and hopefully we'll be able to raise the same amount of money as we did last year in Rochester, New York.
And Corey, here's what I want to say to you, Corey, listen to this very carefully. Aaron loves you and thinks you're wonderful.
Well, I think he's
seriously
wonderful.
Like, I heard your interview last week on the show, and I thought it was absolutely unbelievable. Big bless us for the organization that you put together. I love your blog. I think that's absolutely incredible.
Thank you.
And
I
wish you all the success in what you keep doing, King. I really do.
Listen, that's all the success is going to come with unity and teamwork, you know. That's why I'm reaching out to y'all guys. Y'all reach out to me. You rub my stomach, I rub yours back.
Hey, listen, Corey, let's make this very clear. Regardless of what success and or wonderful things that we all accomplish, you're still my brother, and I love you like a brother, okay? Like, that's the key here. We're here together for one very important reason, is that we care about the games that are being played, and I'm sorry if I can't help you understand when I'm talking to you about the CFL that I actually care about other games as well. But what I want you to understand, Corey, is that you're a wonderful man, and I invited you on today to be on here, not to embarrass you, but to embellish you, if that makes any sense.
Oh, Corey, definitely.
John,
I love it.
Corey, how do I get to your blog again? How do I get to your blog again?
You can just go to CoreyBoyTheJourney.webpress.com.
Corey Boy. Okay, you know what you should do? You should post it on your Facebook for me.
Say it again. Corey.
Oh, it's already up there. It's Corey Boy the Journey .webpress.com.
Done. I'm on it.
And we're doing it together, Corey. We're doing it together.
I just put up a slight little message for tonight. You know, it was a late post, but you know, every other day I'm gonna try to be on there, giving everybody fans what they want to hear. You know, word of the day. Motivational speeches, inspirational words, you know. Sometimes you might get some clowning out up there. I'm trying to get a video blog going as well. So,
a little clowning up. Yeah, that's what you do, Corey. Yeah, I get you. I feel you. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Hey, Corey, listen.
Yes,
sir. You know, I love you. And unfortunately, it's the end of the show. But I want to say that when I understood there was an opportunity to have you on again, I was very pleased, and if there's another opportunity to have you on, I surely look forward to doing that again.
Listen, the door is always open. I love you guys. I truly appreciate you guys always letting me come through.
Monday, my friend, Monday. Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
You got to do it, Frank, when Jared's actually here. I think that...
You know,
I really think that Jared would appreciate getting his ass handed to him by a former Argo.
Jared can do whatever he wants. No, actually, Jared knows I love him. Hey, listen, guys, I want to make this clear to all the listeners. I'm going to turn off your microphones and thank you for being on the program. I really
Night, guys.
And thank you, John, for calling in. You know, the whole point of what makes us human and what makes us good humans is that we care about what other people think and care about what other people say and are willing to listen to the messages that other people are willing to put out there. Well, listen, thank you for tuning into Canada's Frank Live, another 2 hours that went a lot faster than I'd hoped. But having said that, I'm grateful that it went that well. And I want to thank Corey Boyd, yes, King Boyd, former Argonaut, and 27 and not retired. He will be back. And, of course, John Granger, as you know, Argo lifer, the Argo lifer. And, of course, Jared Harris, self-proclaimed Toronto Rock fan and bon vivant. And, of course, Aaron, call me, I'm understanding and I'm an expert on everything Freelander. Thank you for tuning in. And most of all, I want to thank all of you that actually listened while I drank my wine, which is a half a bottle. I'm pretty impaired right now. Now what do? I go up and tap my wife on the shoulder and say, honey, honey. And then we go to bed. That's all that happens after that. Listen, thank you for tuning in. The next thing up, of course, is going to be the extra, which would be also like, you know, make no mistake, I'm an Argo fan. Make no mistake, I'm a Toronto fan. And make no mistake, I care about what you care about. And I hope at some point in my life, I'll be able to really reach you.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Thank you for joining us tonight for the Candid Frank Live Show, heard on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10:30 to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great night, everyone.
Ten, not ten thirty. Jamie Wolodarski, Wolodarsky. Eric Holmes of the Toronto Argonauts. I tried really hard. I did. I really tried really hard to make it only a 15-minute interview. Thanks for tuning in. For those of you listening, thank you. For those of you not listening, you're welcome.